Life can be an extraordinary adventure. More than ordinary. In the gym. At home. At work. More than ordinary. Advice. Without the new agey bullshit.
Welcome to More Than Ordinary, presented by Seven Generation Games. I'm Maria Burns-Ortiz.
I'm Anne-Maria DeMars, reminding you Aztec Games is amazing, and you will learn all kinds of stuff in Spanish and English and math and history, but you will not learn physical education, which is why we have our guest here, Dale Sidebottom, all the way from Melbourne, Australia, in the state of Victoria, as Maria has informed me. Dale is an amazingly versatile person. He was a physical education teacher until very, very recently. He also runs the Energetic Education Podcast.
He has a fitness company in Melbourne. He has another project or company called Break Apps. So he basically does lots and lots of things, which we're going to try and get into some of right now.
So welcome, Dale.
Thank you very much, guys. It's great to be on the podcast. What an honor.
Yeah, thanks for coming with this 17-hour time difference. I think you are the furthest away person that we have interviewed, so I'll have to get somebody like in, you know, Japan or somewhere like that to make up. So the first question I wanted to ask is, where did the idea of Break Apps come from? Because people don't often think of physical education as something that has apps with it. Yeah, math, history, languages, but not PE. So what sparked that in you?
Yeah, so I've done a little bit of teaching, so 8 years as a teacher, as you mentioned, and I was actually over in London doing supply teaching. So I'd get a call each morning, they'd say, Dale, can you go to this school? I'm like, yep, no worries. And you'd get on, you'd follow your Google Maps, you'd go to this school, and basically there'd never be any work left, and you're like, wow, what am I going to do today? Anyway, so I found myself having this bag of just all these loose leaf bits of paper with all different games. And I thought, there's got to be an easier way to store these or be able to find what I actually want. So I thought, I'm just going to make an app. And I know a lot of people say, I'm going to make an app. I've got this app idea. Well, I normally think, when I think of something, I just go ahead and do it. So I started writing an app when I was over in London. And when I actually got home, I actually, put it all together and come up with my first app called Class Break. And from there, I suppose I've gone a little bit crazy. And over the next couple of years, I created another 35. So I think it got a little bit addictive in the end, making apps. But I think why I made it is because these games were obviously helping me with students and getting them on side and things like that. So I thought, well, if it's helping me, it might help other teachers. So that's sort of where the idea started, guys.
My jaw just dropped hearing you say 35 apps.
And just to clarify, since most of our listeners are in the U.S., by supply teaching, you mean what we would call substitute teaching, right? Like the teacher's sick or out for the day and then you come in?
Yeah, exactly right. And so a lot of Australians, New Zealanders and South Africans go over to London, particularly London, and they get a call each morning and go to a different school. And for people out there that haven't done it, it's probably the hardest thing I've ever done. Reason being, you rock into these schools and nearly every day they have a different substitute teacher. So the kids just think it's a party. And I found the only way I could get these kids on side was not by walking in saying, hey, I'm Mr. Sidebottom, because they'd absolutely lose it with that last name. So what I'd do is I'd walk in and I wouldn't even say my name, and I'd just play four quick name games and icebreaker activities. And by the end of the third or fourth one, the kids would be like, sir, what's your name? This is awesome. And I'm like, wow, this is a good model and I need to keep this going. So hence, yeah, the app come about. And I think it's gone from strengths to strengths. And yeah, 35 apps now. I did get really carried away with it.
Do you make the apps yourself? Like, do you code them yourself?
I wish I could. I'd save a lot of money, but no. So I've outsourced all of my app creation. So basically what I do is I write the content. So if I'm writing a literacy app, a numeracy app, science, a PE one, whatever, I'll have all the games and ideas I want. Then I get a graphic designer. So I've got a couple now in Eastern Europe that sort of work for me. One sort of nearly full time as a virtual assistant. Once I've got the graphics, then I've got a coder as well. And his name's Pavel. I doubt he'd be listening because I've never actually spoke to him. We just write emails, and he's created every app for me, which is amazing.
And where is he?
Pavel is based in Eastern Europe as well. I think he's in Ukraine, to be honest. I normally just write an email. I suppose what I used to do is, because of all these time differences, like we're witnessing now, it's 9:15 in the morning, and I think it's 4 p.m. for you guys, that I would go to sleep and I'd set an alarm at 2:30 a.m. my time, so I could get up, and that's when I'd be able to communicate with my virtual assistants on the other side of the world. I'd do half an hour of emailing, then I'd go back to sleep, and yeah, so it wasn't a really practical lifestyle.
Oh my goodness, that's the exact opposite of us. We are all in Santa Monica, where we code all of our own stuff, and so Maria does the lead design on it, game narrative, and then Dennis and I do a lot of the coding. We've got two other software developers here. We've got an artist here. So yeah, our only person that really does much work that isn't in the office is an artist in British Columbia, which is also the same time zone.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's why you're probably going so well, because to get my ideas from my head to these people in Eastern Europe who don't have a teaching background, they don't know what I'm talking about, it is quite difficult. But again, then I suppose it all comes down to cost, and creating 35 of them when I can't code myself, if I got that done in Australia or in the US, I'd be broke. So that's sort of the reason, yeah.
Well, and you must be quite a communicator, because I find, you know, as we've gone further and further along, for me, because I do a lot of the game design, I do the artwork and the creative and what it should be, but to convince people to actually have your app look like what's in your head, it takes a lot of good communication, I would say.
Yeah, well, that's a really good way of putting it. Like, I know I use a few different sites where you can make mock-ups, which obviously you guys would have heard of. So mock-ups are quite important, but and then actually finding exactly how I want it to look. So it comes down to finding apps you like. Go, wow, I really love the functionality. I love the look of that. Can it be similar to this? But then still, it might take 10 goes to get it right, whereas you guys will get the idea and you'll first go, you'll have it. So your production time is so much quicker than what it probably would be for me.
Well, I think our production time takes actually quite a lot, because the types of games we make are like 3D virtual worlds. If you've ever played like Legend of Zelda, or, you know, or we might do a platformer like Super Mario Brothers. And so we're talking generally somewhere around 6 months to do all the artwork and all the animation and all the coding. So it's a bigger game generally. But yeah, I think it would be really difficult to do with a team in another country, particularly if English is their second language. Is that a challenge for you, or are the people you work with, is your English pretty much fine? Or do English, you really have a grasp of Ukrainian?
No. As you can probably tell, I really struggle to speak English very well. But a lot of my games are basically just written. So whereas I had a look at your website today, and it is amazing. I watch your promo videos and stuff. I can tell the depth of your games are so much more elaborate than mine. I couldn't actually create what you guys are doing with people overseas. You need to have a team, like obviously the company you're running, where you can all collaborate and work together. Otherwise, yeah, it'd just be physically impossible.
Well, and I wanted to change tack a little bit and talk about energetic education. So, you know, and it's a podcast, but you were saying now it's something you're doing full-time around the world as well.
Yeah. So I started this probably 2 years ago now, and basically I was teaching full time. So I teach 9 till 5, obviously not 9 to 5 as a teacher, but Monday to Friday. And then on the weekends or after school, I'd travel around and I'd run workshops. So different ways to engage students in the classroom through game-based sort of learning and things like that. And it wasn't till the start of this year where it was just getting too much, and I needed to make the decision, right, do I want to give this a real red hot crack? And which I did. So I resigned from my teaching job, which was a really good job and I enjoyed it, but it wasn't allowing me the flexibility to travel around. And so now what I do, for example, I got back late last night from the capital of Australia, Canberra, where I was running a full day workshop yesterday. And today I've got another one this afternoon. And I've been to New Zealand this year. I was in Dubai last year. I'm going around Asia at the end of the year. I've got Kenya locked in and a few other places. So by allowing me a little bit more time by quitting my job, which financially was a big call, but it was something that it was the best thing I've done, because now I'm absolutely loving energetic education and going around the globe and being able to have more impact on students. Instead of just the 25 that I taught, now I'm impacting, I think I've gone basically to visit about 600 teachers already this year. So then they flow on all the ideas and resources to their students. So my impact now as a teacher is a lot greater than what it was just in the classroom.
Well, I have two questions I want to ask you about that. One is a financial one, and one is just kind of a out of curriculum is the right word. So What's your athletic background? And I beg pardon in advance if you won the gold medal for Australia in the 400 meters freestyle.
No,
have
that's
you been all. Like, are you, you know, obviously you're somewhat athletic from looking at you and you're a PE teacher, but have you competed in sports at a high level or how'd you get into the whole PE thing?
Yeah, so in Australia, I'm not sure if you guys have ever heard of Australian rules football. If you haven't, go on YouTube. But yeah. So I've played Australian rules football all my life up until this year where I had to give it away just because physically I couldn't do it with my job. And another game, cricket. So cricket's my main sort of passion. And for the last 4.5 years, I worked for this company named Cedar and Cricket Australia where I trained and taught elite young cricketers. So I've played cricket at a pretty good level. And just generally love sport and going to the gym and things like that most people do.
Well, the reason I was asking is I have done judo, you know, internationally when I was young, and my daughter did it internationally. And I go around every now and then I don't do it deliberately, but if I'm somewhere, say, recently I was in Wyoming and I was at the Native American Education Conference and talking about our games and using game-based learning to involve students in technology. And so they asked me to come teach at the local judo club. And so I do that every now and then. I teach a club locally at a middle school. And sometimes you get these parents that their idea of how to get a child, you know, fit, that they need to lock them in a closet with a badger. They need to chase them down this street, you know, with the sword and make their kid run faster. And I am all on board with you about the games. And I've argued with many parents about this, that if your child hates it, as soon as they get old enough, they're going to quit.
And no, I couldn't agree more. I think the big thing you just mentioned there, that a lot of parents force their kids to do things, or they make them do something that they just got no passion for, and it's not fun. I think the big key word in anything in life, if you can make it fun, people are going to be engaged. If you can make writing, reading, like doing your reading words fun, or doing your literacy tables or anything like that, it's like a game. So any sport, fitness you make, if you make it into a game, kids are going to be more engaged, adults are going to be more engaged. So my big tip for parents and things is find something that their children obviously love, and anybody this goes for. I use a lot of dice cards and like Uno cards and things like that, and I make sort of fun little interactive games that are fitness based through those, that are really basic, and they don't require going out and putting a down payment on your home to buy new equipment or things like that. They're really basic things that anybody can use. And not only that, that the parent can share that experience with the kids. So they can both do it together. It becomes sort of like a passion that they share together instead of the parent forcing the kid to do something they hate, which gives a really bad experience. And then that kid will have that the rest of their life. And like, oh, I don't like sport, I had a bad experience. Whereas if you can make it into a really positive experience from the start, something that you share together with your kids, then it's a win-win for everybody and it's fun.
So the next question I have is a financial one. So you just write people and say, hey, how about flying me to Kenya from Australia and paying me to talk to your teachers?
So, yeah, it's a really good one. So I've done a lot of the workshops and presenting, it was around Australia in the last couple of years, whereas last year I was flown over to Dubai to present at a conference called Connected PE. And I think there was about 200 teachers from 30 different countries around the world. I ran two masterclasses and a general session, and they just went unbelievable. Like people were raving, and I really got a lot of confidence. And basically from there, teachers said, we'd love to have you come and present at our school or things like that. So through social media and sort of a backing that I'd gathered over the last 4 years from building apps and running a blog and a podcast and things, with those new connections, I was like, right, I'm going to give this a crack and use those connections that I'd made at that conference and previously, and locked in some workshops. And from there, obviously, your best form of advertising is word of mouth, and it's just gone from strength to strength.
So I noticed you do a blog, you do a podcast. Do you have a favorite? Do you like podcasting better than blogging? Do you like going and presenting better? What's your, if you had to choose one, what would it be?
I think you need to be across all platforms, because some people like to read, some people like to listen, and not everybody is able to obviously come and listen to me live. And the live ones obviously cost more than your blog or your podcast. So I think you've got to do them all. But for me, presenting live, there's nothing like it. You can feed off everybody's energy. It's an amazing experience to learn from one another. So if you gave me the choice, I'd present live every day of the week. I do enjoy the podcast. I think it's a different way of doing it. Writing for me doesn't come naturally. So the blog is where I started, but that's sort of tapered off more now that the workshops and podcast are sort of going quite well.
We'll be right back.
You know how sometimes you have an idea of how you want something done? Like how you would have your living room decorated, your closet organized, or whatever. But you just haven't had the time to get around to it because the way it is right now is passable and it works. But in the back of your head, you know it could be better someday. Well, for Spirit Lake the Game, someday is today. At Seven Generation Games, we've rolled out a major update of our very first game. We've kept the parts that were already great and enhanced those areas where we saw potential for enhancements to give you a new version of the game that we know kids will love even more than the original. If you already have Spirit Lake, check your email for the update notification. If you don't have Spirit Lake, well, what are you waiting for? Get it today. Welcome back to More Than Ordinary, presented by Seven Generation Games. And also with me is...
Anne Marie DeMars, still here, and our amazing guest, physical educator, extraordinaire blogger, podcaster, entrepreneur, Dale Sidebottom.
That's the one. Thanks, guys.
So, we talked a little bit briefly about it in the intro, but... obviously, it's a big jump to go from, you said you were a teacher for 8 years, and then you decided, okay, I'm going to go after this. What was that decision like, deciding to leave teaching? Because it sounds like it's definitely something you really, really loved, but making that decision to go all in.
Yeah, it was something I'd been thinking about for a couple of years. And the reason being, I've been working for the last 3 years, probably 15, 16-hour days. So I also run a fitness company where I get up at 5 in the morning, I'll go and run a boot camp, a one-on-one personal training, I'll go teach all day, and then in the evenings I'll probably do 3 or 4 or even 5 fitness sessions with clients, and then I'll come home and I'll do my energetic education or break app stuff after hours, go to bed, and it just kept repeating, and then all I was doing was burning myself out, and something had to give, and unfortunately that was teaching. But I think the big call and how I was able to do this was I just thought I had all these amazing ideas and games, and I was really restricted as only 25 students were getting this experience, whereas if I could actually now go and teach other teachers these games, then so many more teachers, students would have that impact of these games and basically make learning fun, and that's my big thing. So it was a big call financially and just a risk, you know. Like I was quitting a job that after 8 or 9 years it was very secure. I've got a mortgage, I've got everything like that, and to go and basically have minimal wage coming in. But, you know, I just thought, no, you've got to back yourself in, and I knew what I was delivering was really good, and it was just a matter of really saying, right, I'm going to give this a red hot crack.
And, you know, many years ago, I had tenure as a professor, and I quit my job, and I founded my second company. And what happened was I was like you. I was working so many hours, and it was either quit the teaching or quit the company. And I have to say, I have never really regretted it at all. I look at friends of mine who, you know, 20 years later, they're getting ready to retire from having done the same thing for the last 40 years. And yeah, I mean, there are times when I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you know, we've got to bring in enough money to cover the payroll this, you know, this month. But I just, you only get one life, you know? And I just can't see.
Sorry, I interrupted.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, you only get one life. And I just can't see spending all of it doing one thing. It's tough, you know, when you have to take that deep breath and you've got the bills and you think, well, I will figure this out.
Yeah, I agree. And like, there's nothing wrong with like having the same job your whole life. I think that's great. And if you're able to do that and you're happy with that, go for it. But for me, I felt there was something else out there. And I don't think I would have been satisfied if I hadn't have given it a real crack. And the reason it's amazing now, I've got time to be guests on your amazing podcast or do other things I just didn't have time to before. So by getting rid of teaching, it's freed up so much more time to allow me to explore new avenues. So it was a risk, but it's the best thing I've done, as you just mentioned.
Well, and do you have kids? Because I'm just listening to your schedule thinking, if you had children, did you remember their names?
No, I don't have kids. And I suppose if I did have kids, I just wouldn't be able to do what I was doing. And I probably would have stayed teaching because it would have been a safe job and I would have been able to support and carry that on. So I'm in a fortunate position where at this stage I don't have kids, well, that I know of. But you can edit that out if you like, but no, I don't have any at the moment, guys.
Well, it doesn't mean you couldn't do it. I mean, I have four kids, and yeah, I had three when I quit my job and said, oh, I'll start a company. And right. Yeah, well, and then I had another one and started another company.
Yeah. Although I will say sometimes it does make it harder. Sometimes people say you can definitely do it, but it does make it harder because kids are really, really expensive. I say as I'm staring at one of mine who is right here right now. But I had a question as to where do you get your ideas for the games? You know, both the games that you're putting into your apps, but the ones that you're doing the presentations about with Energetic Education. Where do you get these ideas and how do you pull them all together?
Well, I really love board games or just TV shows or things like that that, you know, students will have an interest in. So where it started for me was the board game Monopoly. So I was like, well, I love this board game and everybody will know it. So straight away, you've got buy-in from whoever you deliver this to. So instead of landing on properties, when you go around the board, landing on Mayfair or Park Lane, now that might be Squat Street. So when you land on there to get that property, you need to do 20 squats, right? Then you own it. So I turned it into a fitness-based game. And this worked amazing with students, with adults in my boot camps. Everybody just loved the concept, you know? So I had jail, I've got all of it, chance, community, chess, they're all on this board game. And basically you print it out and it's like a real size board game that you play in a large area. And from there, I'm like, wow, this works great here. Why don't I turn this into a curriculum-based game? So now you've got literacy streets, you've got numeracy, you've got science, geography, history, you've got sports ones. So when you land on those squares, each one applies to some principle that they may be learning in that subject. So my game now incorporates movement, and it also incorporates all the different curriculum that teachers are teaching. So not only are they having fun, but the buy-in from the students is epic. They're moving, which is so important because fitness for young kids coming through these days is quite poor. We've got a big problem in both our countries. So if you incorporate learning, fitness, and fun all in one, that's what I've tried to do.
It's really true that kids aren't nearly as fit as they used to be, and it's not... Oh, when I was a kid, we walked uphill in the snow both ways over broken glass. It really is true. I mean, I've been coaching for decades, and now when we have a new group of kids come in, our first challenge is to get them physically fit enough that they can do some of the techniques. You know, it's not that the kids, at least in the city, which is where I teach, right in the heart of Los Angeles, they're not riding their bikes around like when I was a kid. They're not playing kickball out in the street until the street lights go on and they go home. So yeah, we do things like circuits, which is where they'll do, say, 5 push-ups, 5 jumping jacks, 5 sit-ups, and they'll do it again, do it over and over for like 30 seconds, and they'll take a 10-second break and then they'll do it again. And when they start at the beginning of semester, often there's a lot of kids that can't do one push-up, and even though that's not a game, it's something that the kids kind of like because it doesn't take very long, and we do it for a couple minutes, and they can see over the course of, you know, the semester how much better they get. But you're absolutely right that kids don't come into our schools with the level of fitness that they had a generation ago.
Nah, and they definitely don't. And I suppose that's where, you know, us as educators need to get a little bit creative. And I notice this. So I'm like, all right, how can we go about get improving fitness, but make it so kids forget actually what they're doing? So a couple of things I started doing was making story-based adventures where, as a teacher, I would be reading out a story, but for students to get to the next part of the story, they'd need to do a movement, all right? So they'll basically, I remember as a kid growing up, there was this one story, we're going on a bear hunt, and you'd have to go, got to go under. So you'd have to do the movements. I'm like, that was great. And that stuck with me. I'm 32 now and I still remember it. So I've gone and created, I think there's about 15 different narrated stories now where They're basically kids get into like some of them like a nursery rhyme, Alice in Wonderland, or you might be robbing a bank or going on a trip around the world. And basically each stop or each pause in the story, the students need to do some push-ups or some sit-ups or something like that. Or another thing you can use is use music. So with songs, for example, if you're a Belieber, for Justin Bieber fans out there, his song, What Do You Mean? If I've hit a chord and you don't like Justin Bieber, I'm sorry, but his song, What Do You Mean? He mentions What Do You Mean, I think, about 18 times throughout the song. So if students hold a plank and then every time he says, What Do You Mean? They do a burpee, they jump up and they go back down into the plank. That's 4:20 of a really physical song, but they forget what they're doing because you're not telling them to do a burpee, a push-up, a sit-up. They're waiting for Justin to go, What do you mean? And Justin means do a burpee. So they do the burpee and they go back and they start again. So I've tried to create a lot of things like that so kids get that buy-in, but they forget that they're actually doing a circuit.
One thing that I'm curious about is shifting curriculum, because that's something we find hard with trying to get people to use our games, you know, changing what you're doing in math. And I feel like PE especially, you know, math and reading and things, there's people, a lot of talk about technology, but you don't hear a lot of talk in conversations about tech changing things or, you know, innovation in PE. And so is there a lot of, you know, I wouldn't say pushback, but do you have to sell people on this? Because they probably have been doing it the same way for a long, long time.
Well, and I think the big thing you just mentioned there, they've been doing it the same way for a long time. And you look at schools, I think schools are a big video game. You look at it like they come in, they've got to do these different levels, they move up. So it's like gamification, but they just do it really poorly. It's not very well structured. Like, it's gamification on a shocking level. So you go in and, yes, some of them are a bit skeptical because this isn't the way we do it. No, we do it this way. I'm like, that's great. How about you try this way? And you basically give them new platforms or new ideas, because you can never stop learning. So I think technology is amazing. I think it's got a place. I don't think it ever replaces a teacher or anything like that, but you use that to enhance your learning and assist. So I find that certain people are a bit standoffish, but that's why I love the live like workshops and in person, because you can actually show them how amazing these games are. And I make everyone that come to my workshop play the games, because the only way you learn is by doing. And I seem to find after the end of the day, people are like, wow, I was a bit skeptical at the start, but this is amazing. Thank you so much. It's like a new thing every day. At the start, they're standoffish. By the end of the day, they're thanking me. So, it does take a little bit, but I think the harder we push, the harder you guys push with your amazing products, it'll slowly sink in.
Well, and we find something similar. I know that in the U.S., about half of educational technology purchased is never used, which I find a pretty shocking statistic. And with our games, I know it's well over half is used, you know, more like 3/4. And even then, I just can't believe it, but it's a common thing. And I'll talk to teachers and they'll say, well, you know, I saw this at a workshop or the school district bought it, but I was busy and I meant to do it and time got away from me. And that was the end of the school year. And the thing that we have found that makes the biggest difference is if we go into the school district, whether it's online, like via Skype or Google Hangout, or, you know, more often physically, and present to all the teachers, and as you said, be in the computer lab and have them all play the games, and then they say, oh, I could see using this in my classroom. It's just getting that time and attention and getting out of that mindset of, well, this is what I've always done the third Tuesday in October. And it's not that teachers don't mean well. It's not that they're not hardworking. It's that often they're swamped. And so I've found getting them just the hour or two to sit down and play the games and give them, you know, a little bit of time to reflect on, here's how I can put it in my teaching, that makes all the difference in the world.
I couldn't agree more. And as a teacher these days, the last thing you do is teach. Everything else is compliance. You've got all this paperwork, you've got reporting, you've got testing. The last thing that is the most important thing is actually your teaching. So when teachers buy my resources, I used to like making money off my sales online. I'm like, this is great. But a lot of the time, they don't actually get used. So as you mentioned, like with a lot of my resources and things now, and I think what you just said, it's all about us going in, showing them how amazing and giving them time where they can ask questions or, you know, just experience what that game's going to be like for the students. Then they're going to be more likely to use it. Whereas schools purchase licenses or your resources, they send them out. People don't even know how to actually construct it or run it. And you can make videos and everything as much as you want, but unless you've actually got that person's attention for an hour or 2 hours or however long you're presenting for, it's just not going to work. It's basically a waste of that school's money. May as well spend a little bit more, get us in, and show them how amazing the things are that we're creating.
Welcome to our third and final segment of More Than Ordinary, presented by Seven Generation Games. Since you've been listening to the first two halves of the podcast, you know, or, oh my gosh, wait, it's not two halves.
It's two halves.
Since you've been listening.
Maya needs Fish Lake, the game that teaches fractions.
It's been a long day. Since you've been listening to the first two-thirds of the podcast, you know that I'm Maria Burns-Ortiz.
And I'm Anne Maria DeMars, and I would recommend that Maria play Aztec Games, which we have up on Kickstarter. So if you backed us, you'll probably get, within a month or two, the first few levels, because, yeah, she could use some help with fractions. And we have somebody who does... I don't know if he needs help with fractions or not, but definitely needs to know help with physical education. Dale Sidebottom, who is going to now give the favorite part of our podcast for many people, his tip to our More Than Ordinary listeners. So take it away, Dale.
I've got a two-part tip for you today. Is that okay?
Sure, it's your tip.
Two-part, thank you. All right, I'm going to cut it in half. So with my fractions, I'll give you half now, and then I'll give you half afterwards. So my first one, and we've mentioned this a lot, that you've got to make everything you're doing fun, all right? So if you're a parent out there and you're forcing your kid to do something that they don't want to, think about how you can turn into a game or make it fun. That might be purchasing Seven Generations packages of their fraction game, Go Fishing, I think that was. Or, you know, turning it into a fun game, finding a board game and thinking about how can we change the questions on this instead of buying a property in Monopoly to be actually revising the topic that your student's actually working on. Or make it into a game. If they're practicing soccer, change each property to pass, header, throw in, goal shot, anything like that. Make it into an actual game through another game. So that's my number one tip for parents, teachers, anyone out there. And my second one is a really sort of left field one. I don't know if you guys have heard much about crypto coins, bitcoins, Ethereum, things like that. If you're not already investing in this stuff, do it. It is going to explode. You look at Bitcoin, it is going through the roof. I can't wait to see some of these littler coins go up. There's one called 10X. That I reckon in the next month is going to triple in value. That is my hot tip from a PE teacher in Australia.
That's amazing. Thank you so much, Dale. We really appreciate it. Where can people find you online?
Yeah, so online, if you're on Twitter, I use Twitter professionally, and I'd love to hear from you if you've heard the podcast or you want to find out more. So my handle is at Dale Sidebottom. Surely you can't forget that last name. But to find out more about things I'm doing, energetic.education is one of my websites, and that's basically where you'll find my own podcast, a little bit of a blog. And if you want to find any of my apps, just go on either Google Play or the App Store and type in Dale Sidebottom, and a few of them will come up.
Great. Well, thank you so much. We know it's early morning over your way.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me on the podcast, guys. It's been a blast.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening to the More Than Ordinary podcast.
For more information, please go to our website, 7GenerationGames.com. And that's 7 as in the number 7, GenerationGames.com.
If you'd like to learn more about math and history, or increase your vocabulary while at the same time having fun, you can purchase our games at 7GenerationGames.com/buy.
You can also donate and help a much-deserving student.
And as always, please tell a friend and don't forget to rate us on iTunes.
It's never too late to be more than ordinary.